Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay of Triumph MMA, Ken Evans, and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the Twitter, Facebook, and statistic universe, especially your questions about aliens and their existence or not existence.
And how they relate to your God. He's a big fan of that. Hey, Joe, what's your Twitter this week? You keep changing it every time I post your picture.
Aliens vs. Aliens 3.
I don't know.
You can get him on Twitter at Aliens vs. Aliens 3. It's funny because, you know, this week I thought, wow, this is going to be, we're going to have to do some stretching and we're going to have to talk a lot about Metamoris 3, and that's going to be really kind of boring for people who hate jiu-jitsu. But then the UFC decided, hey, who wants to see Dan Henderson, Daniel Cormier? And, wait, what?
Like, yeah. Is this April Fool's?
Well, it was the day before April Fool's, and obviously April Fool's, the story that was floating around was Ronda and Gina Carano in the first ever bikini match, which just speaks to
that was a little bit clever, at least.
One of the thousand reasons why I hate April Fools.
No, the problem was that story went out, and then everybody reported it like it was a real fight, not even reading the whole story, which is clearly a joke.
Clearly a joke, except for the fact that has been floating around, so it's not nearly as funny if, you know,
the bikini match has been floating around?
No. But Carano and Ronda was things that people were looking forward to. That's my problem with April Fools, is like when you go down the route of April Fools, of something people really want. April Fools cable is free. Well, that's not April Fools. That's just you being a jackass.
Right.
You know?
Well, which April Fools joke out of you guys kind of caught you? Like, you know, obviously,
I know nothing catches me anymore. The problem is I don't believe anything anymore. So that's why I'm still wondering if this Daniel Cormier fight's real with Dan Henderson.
The one that just briefly caught my eye for a second was Dana White and UFC buying Spike.
The Bellator thing?
Yeah, Bellator. And I was like,
I thought that one was at least.
And I was like, good.
You knew from the get-go it's a joke. They obviously aren't going to buy Spike. And the best part of that line was suspend Bellator indefinitely. As if some point they're going to be like, come on back. We can totally do this.
I don't know. He really likes what Vince McMahon does. Vince did that to a whole wrestling organization.
Yeah, but you know, out of everyone, that Viacom can just buy anything they want. So
yeah, but sometimes a big company like, I don't know, Time Warner just doesn't want anything to do with the product anymore, and they sell something for pennies on the dollar. Yeah. That's actually what happened
it's
with WWE.
When an ex-wife wants to get rid of your
in
Ferrari.
WCW.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
they don't
exactly
care.
What it's like. Yeah. Okay, but back to the issue at hand. Dan Henderson and Daniel Cormier at UFC 175. The question from our Facebook, which I think sets the tone of what we should talk about, is, so does Hendo really deserve this title eliminator, or is the UFC really just trying to rush Daniel Cormier to the title shot to say, well, because the knock on him, Sean, is obviously, well, and a knock he's done it on the show, adamantly bitch about, because he has quite the repertoire at the heavyweight division, and why that resume doesn't translate to another weight division is beyond both he and I. But the knock he gets at light heavyweight is that you haven't fought anybody. You fought a barista. Like,
not cool, man.
What? Yeah. I didn't hire the barista. They hired a barista. He fought a barista.
Yeah, but if he beats Dan Henderson, he beats a guy that is a legend in the UFC, a guy who held that Pride middleweight and title, and he held that, what's the other version he held for a while?
It was
I forget how they do their weight classes, almost like a light heavy.
The Grand Prix,
yeah,
right?
The Grand Prix one.
This is
their middleweight
real
was like 200,
yeah,
or something like that.
He beat Vanderlei, right? Wasn't that Vanderlei?
Yeah, he knocked out Vanderlei when nobody thought anybody
was going to beat him.
When Pride did their second show in Vegas.
So, I mean, this is an instance here where I get that a lot of people are saying all he's done is beat the barista, and that's not really his fault. He's one of those dudes that's just beat people that are in front of him. But Dan Henderson's a real test. Now, here's the difference.
He beat Josh Barnett. Like, he beat real people.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
that. Like, he didn't just show up at the UFC and beat a barista.
I was jumping into your world of light heavyweight, I guess I could say. For a guy with his pedigree, jumping into light heavyweight, of course he should be considered for a title at some point. Dan Henderson's that guy where, okay, I'll accept that. Dan Henderson didn't look great in those first couple of rounds, but came out with a big win in Brazil. So this is a nice fight to come off of to take on Daniel Cormier. I don't know if it's a situation where I would say either of these dudes gets that light heavyweight shot, but I can't complain too much.
If I mean, okay, so you're excited to see the fight. If Henderson wins, though, do you really want to see him fight Jon Jones? Is that really what you want to see?
No.
Why not?
I think
because
I think the UFC,
did you watch the Shogun fight? Like, I don't really want to see him fight ever, really.
He
like,
wants,
ever.
UFC, that was fight of the
UFC's
night.
UFC's just throwing him at DC to kind of, I mean, no disrespect, but get rid of Henderson.
So the question from the Facebook you agree with, like, they just think they want to get Daniel, you know, they want to get Daniel into the title contention. So this is a good way to do it because you beat a guy with a big pedigree and you shut up the statement. Well, you haven't fought anyone real at 205. I mean, even though at this point, I would say to you, Sean, Dan's not really in the mix.
No,
in my
he
mind.
Wasn't. I mean, his last performance was not really that great. But, I mean, you know, he did come off with a great win. You know, he got the punch and it landed and everything was smooth. But you still got three other guys out there that are floating. I don't want to put too much investment into Anthony Johnson, but he is fighting Phil Davis. That's going to be interesting, the winner of those two guys. And then you still got Alexander, who's, you know, that will probably be the biggest rematch of UFC history because him and Jones, you know.
Yeah.
If Jones gets by, not Kane, what's his name?
Glover.
Yeah. And what's interesting is Phil has spent all week long trying to plant the seed that Jon Jones isn't going to show up.
He should go into comedy when he's done fighting, dude. Honestly, the guy is funny. You know, his like Old Spice commercial thing he did was kind of funny, too. So
before we jump ahead, though, I mean, if we do want to agree that this is a move that UFC's making in order to move Dan Henderson along, it's a dangerous dude to do that with. We saw the Shogun fight shows perfectly why maybe he's not the best guy. If that's your plan, I don't necessarily know if I'm jumping on board with you guys, but if that's your plan, you're putting a guy in there that can land that punch anytime, and when he does, it's done. The fight's over. Daniel Cormier, no Daniel Cormier. Nobody's put a punch on him like that before.
So he's picking Dan Henderson, obviously.
I'm saying it's a dangerous game to play with a guy like Dan Henderson.
I don't know that I'm all... to keep with the theme today, I'm all tinfoil hat with Sean to say that this is to move, you know, it's a done deal. This is an inconvenience to actually have the fight because on paper there's no way because I can't disagree with you because that's exactly what he did to Shogun. Mm-hmm. He was beat up for 10 straight minutes.
Yeah.
Taking punches that should have ended most people's careers and then finishes the fight.
Yeah, and it's not like this situation either. We've seen a whole lot as far as knockout power from Daniel Cormier. I guess I'll jump into your camp here. He beat the barista. But
nearly to death.
Actually. Right. I mean, yeah. But Roy Nelson, Frank Mir, I mean, those were both decision fights. So when you kind of get to the caliber that is Dan Henderson, I think you put him in there with Josh Barnett. I think you put him in there with some of those other dudes. He's not shown a lot of knockout power. Now, he did have a big KO over, I believe, Antonio Silva a couple years back in Strikeforce. But you don't really see a lot from his hands. Again, I don't want to take away that Patrick Cummins fight, but, I mean, nobody's even bothered to give Patrick Cummins a Wikipedia page at this point. So that should tell you something. I know, Sean, get on that. You don't have time either. Nobody does.
Dude,
Patrick doesn't. So, I mean, that tells you in this fight, I don't necessarily see, even though he's the heavier dude, he's the guy coming down from heavyweight.
Sure.
I don't see him as necessarily the guy with the most knockout potential in that fight at all. It's him and Dan Henderson.
Okay, but if you could write on paper what you want to see happen, it sounds like you want Henderson to win this thing.
I don't necessarily want him to win. I think it gets really ugly in that division if he wins.
You think?
If this is a title eliminator, this isn't one of those deals. Who did we do this with Vitor and somebody else a couple years ago, where Vitor couldn't get the title shot and he ended up winning the fight?
Was it Bisping? Was that the Bisping?
I think that might have been it. And it was one of those situations. Well, if Bisping wins, then he's got the title shot and he couldn't win the fight. I think that was it.
Yeah, it was definitely that.
But I wouldn't have a problem necessarily with that in this fight. I don't think Dan Henderson is a guy you want to put in there against either Glover Teixeira or John Bones Jones or maybe some of those other high-caliber dudes. Alexander Gustafsson might be a fight I want to see Dan Henderson in, but that's a fight then he can have the title shot.
Well, here's an X factor, though, that we haven't really talked about, and that is, you know, as Joe is pointing out to me in the call screener screen, is that this is going to be Dan's first fight without TRT.
Mm.
And by July, does he have the time to adjust to that? So let's just assume he tests clean because Dan seems like a guy who would figure that out pretty quickly. What does his body do, Sean?
You know, I don't know, like, you know, what his regimen was, but in my opinion, Dan just seems like the kind of guy who's like, hey, if these are the rules. If I'm allowed to take it, sweet. Now that's not the rules, he's sweet. I'll still fight. I think it's not going to make a big. He's not. He doesn't depend on it as some other fighters we know.
Sure.
That does. So I.
So you don't think it's going to be a thing?
Nah, I don't think it's going to be an issue for him. Even though, like Chael Sonnen said, it will be an issue. I just, you know.
But he like to your
to be honest with you, I didn't see any TRT obvious performance in his last fight.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so he looked like, pretty slow and plodding along in the last fight.
I think his game plan in his last fight should be the same game plan in this fight.
Get his butt warped, whoop for two rounds, and then win.
Yeah, like the Rocky
thing.
They call
it the Rocky. Yeah, you just get beat up for
two rounds.
Punch
me in the face. As soon as you drop your hands, bam, I'm going to catch you.
Coming out of nowhere. Yeah. Here I come.
Boom.
Wow.
And like I was alluding to earlier, Phil Davis, all over Twitter and Facebook, trying to get John Jones to drop out of his fight with Glover Teixeira, so Phil can take what he believes is rightly his. I'm not, like, you know, to your point, Sean, not really sure if he's just a really big Game of Thrones fan and he just wants his seat on the Iron Throne and this is his play for that, or if he really feels that he has some inside information that John Jones is going to drop out against Glover Teixeira.
I don't know. I just think every time Phil's in the spotlight on a big fight like with the Rashad Evans, he like slows down. I don't know if it's an adrenaline dump or what goes on, but it's not the same Phil Davis we see climbing through the ranks.
What do you think will happen with the Anthony Johnson fight, though? Because that's
Anthony's a beast.
He is a beast, and that's why I'm saying. But he's not a beast of the caliber of, and I don't mean this as a disrespect, but he, as you pointed out, Phil slows down when it matters the most, and this doesn't necessarily have the weight of.
I think Phil will probably, you know, have his composure with him, and you know, if he takes it to the ground, obviously that's Anthony's weak spot.
You think?
I mean, look what Vitor did to him, and so I think it's, and I know disrespect to Vitor, but I mean, he pretty much took him down and choked him out in no time. So if he decides to stand and bang with Anthony, obviously Anthony's much faster. He's got probably more power in the
striking
department.
Well, yeah, I mean, he looks ginormous at that weight.
Yeah,
so.
and he's crushing guys. So I mean. If Anthony comes out blazing, if Anthony does like a Vitor Belfort type approach, I think he can smoke Phil Davis.
Really?
Oh yeah. Why not?
I like the pick. I like it. Yeah. But you know, I think
but
most people.
But if Phil says, you know what, I see one jab and I'm ducking under. That's game over for Anthony.
Dumping you on your head, yeah. Yep. And then the other interesting story out of the week before we go on to segment two, and we'll take some more listener questions and talk a little Johnny Hendricks, and of course, do Sean's favorite thing of the week since Captain America's out. We could do this week at GSP. We'll get to that here
in a
second. But Chael, it was an uphill battle to get Vanderlei to sign this fight. Vanderlei finally signs to fight Chael in May, and Chael has been walking around this week saying, look, something's a little fishy. And he was quoted as saying, look, I was with him on the set of The Ultimate Fighter. I watched him every day, not practice. It seemed like he watched me every day, practice twice a day. I'd see him in the hallway. I'd be covered in 5 or 6 pounds of sweat, and he'd be walking in with fruit. He was always eating pears. He'd walk around with a pear in his hand as dry as can be, and I thought, you know, look like a guy who's getting ready to fight, especially not a 5-round fight with a guy like me. And he goes on to talk about how Vanderlei is running around saying, Chael better not get hurt. Chael better not duck this fight. Chael better not drop out, thinking that maybe there's something going on and Vanderlei's going to walk away.
That's really hard to predict.
Well, I don't understand what to take from that with Chael's comments.
Well, Chael is,
and usually he'll dig you, he'll come at you, and he's very clear about what he's trying to say about somebody.
Well, I think what he's trying to say is there's a lot of stuff that Vanderlei is throwing up from Vanderlei's camp that Chael better not do this, Chael better not do that, and Chael is turning the tables and saying, you don't hear that a lot from Vanderlei unless there's something going on, and I wonder if he's going to back out of this at the last second. And again, it could be more hyperbole to get interest because you have a show that only lived on Fight Pass. Fight Pass.
Yeah, I have Fight Pass. I haven't seen any of these yet.
Yeah, so you only live on Fight Pass, so you have a finite number of people that are watching it to begin with, and then you're trying to, out in the mainstream mass media world, get people to buy into the fight without ever seeing most of the back and forth between the two that has been flowing.
There's a lot of assault on that show, man. I mean, Vanderlei is literally crossing the line. I mean, I think one of the little previews is Dana White saying you should be thrown in jail by now.
Well, I mean, it's in Brazil, so it's foreplay. It's not assault. So... Just let's be clear. Don't be culturally insensitive, Sean.
The views of Ken Evans don't necessarily reflect
the views of
the
Warrior. No, I'm the one that accepts everyone for who they are and where they live.
It's not a view of how Brazilians live, but okay.
No, I mean, you wait for the World Cup, see how well this goes.
Freedom of speech, not free of consequence, but whatever you would like to say.
Now, just to be clear, though, on the whole thing with Vanderlei and his pears and not eating pears.
I thought you were going to do some intercultural communication for us here.
Yeah, I was going to help out.
He should definitely, after all this is done, you should go and be teach at a college on, you know, geography and cultural, you know.
Sure, yeah, you could teach my class. You'd be awesome. They would love you.
From, like, Mount Olympus down.
We'll do that. Vanderlei has said he only needs...
Welcome to the class. Zeus, he will teach you how he is.
He only needs 8 weeks to get ready. So that's what he said.
Okay.
I just figured that should be...
Zeus only needs 8 weeks.
We should make that clear.
It just seems to me that if you were given access, and Sean, you could speak to this. If you were, even if you didn't have a fight, right, and you're given access to 32 new people to spar with, it seems like it would be in your interest, even if you weren't going 100%, to get a sweat on with as many of those people as possible, just because you have access to that many. I mean,
yeah, but do you do that though? When you're a guy like Vanderlei Silva, he's been in there 1,000 times. Fighting. I mean, this is a guy who's fought a lot, taken a lot of punishment. Maybe he's a guy at this point in his career. He's like, look, I know all of that. I don't need to spar with 30 guys that are just getting into this. God knows how many of them might just spaz out on me because, I mean, that's a real danger inside a gym, especially with guys like Vanderlei.
I think Chael's approach is pretty cool because he's like, hey, Brazil doesn't have wrestling, so it doesn't matter what these guys are doing. I can just take them to the ground, wrestle, and you know, if it's a sparring match, he doesn't have to worry about any injuries. And in return, those guys are probably getting the best wrestling camp they've ever going to receive.
Sure.
Because, you know, Brazil's not known as a wrestling country.
From a training perspective, though, if you were able to go anywhere, you know, you and Kevin get invited to Russia and you don't have a fight, but there's 32 Russians training, wouldn't you be like, yeah, we should totally hang out here and do whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely do it. As long as they don't bring in, like, a bear to wrestle, then I'm down.
But
yeah,
you know what
sure.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, snark aside.
I'm not snarking. Those guys wrestle bears out there.
I mean, but who wouldn't want to train with Nurmagomedov? And I know that these are tough kids, so it's not necessarily the same, but it seems odd to me if this is a true, and it's Chael, so we'll take truth with a grain of salt, if this is a true account of what's going on, if Vanderlei really didn't do much of anything as far as training, that seems a little odd to me, even if you only need, as Ken just said, 8 weeks to get ready.
Yeah, because the show's over, and the guys have plenty of time. They all the fighters and the competitors.
Yeah, they get like 12 weeks or something.
Yeah, they all go to their separate camps and then they get ready for the finale. So, yeah, I mean, why do a 20-week camp or whatever?
I'm not saying a 20-week camp, but I mean, if this is true and he never really did anything except for eat pears and yell at Chael, is that what you would do in those situations or take advantage of what people were there? And I'm asking from an honest,
I don't know. Honestly, if I know I have a fight scheduled and the contract's signed, now it got signed, why do anything except maybe clean up the diet? You know, eat clean and maybe do a light jogging here and there. But you know, especially
when you're 20 years into your fighting career.
Yeah, I mean, he probably knows when his body peaks. He might be a guy. I mean, you know, rumor has it Robbie Lawler doesn't even do a warm up. He just changes and then goes out and fights. You know what I mean? Seriously, he doesn't do a warm up. Maybe Vanderlei only needs more of like a cross training type camp and then 2 weeks of real MMA
sparring.
Camp. You know, maybe that's his thing. I have no idea. But if I know I have my fights, I've got plenty of time, you know, and I've got access to the UFC's paying for all this food and stuff. Yeah, I'll be eating clean and having a good time and joking around. Just try to take life lightly. I mean, the guy is, like you said, he's done 20 years of fighting.
All the pears you could eat.
Yeah.
So in 2 weeks when he drops out, you both will be back here to go. Hey, you were right.
What a jerk. How did he drop out? Yeah, exactly.
Should have been training. Why didn't
he stay in shape? Why wasn't he training, man? I mean, he had the UFC gym. He had like 30 guys to spar with. What was he thinking?
To be fair also, he butt scoots to the grocery store every day.
Okay.
That's also Brazil, right?
Right. Okay.
No?
All right. We'll be right back. No matter.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Dizay from Triumph MMA, Ken Evans, Joby Wan Kenobi, who handles all social media, so anything that happens on Twitter or Facebook at Wow Show, he is holistically responsible, and at no point did I post the Ronda Rousey-Gina Carano fight on April Fool's thinking that it was true. That was not me at all.
After the last segment, I'm getting a
way
lot
to throw
of...
him under the bus there, man. Jeez.
After the last segment, I'm getting a lot of tweets in Portuguese. I assume they're all support.
That is all support.
To me. Yes. So, thank you, Portugal. Wait,
where,
what?
Where it says see translation, click on
Brazil
that.
Brazil and Portugal are not the same thing.
No, I didn't say they were.
Okay, all right.
The Portuguese originated the language. The Brazilians took it. Right? Is that how it worked? Let me wiki Brazil real
quick. They got on the internet.
They stole it?
See, what's funny about this...
Did they use Rosetta Stone?
What's funny about this is people think it's a shtick, except if they were to see the messages that go back and forth between you two, they would know that Ken's actually a racist. Like,
no, I'm not. No, that's
totally
not.
Racist.
That's too far.
That's too far?
That's too far.
Really? Okay, I'm sorry.
Look, I love wherever Sean is from. I love him and his people.
Okay.
That other planet.
Yes.
Wherever that is.
Wherever that is.
I believe it's...
that planet that turned into a star.
Albuquerque.
Well, no, I mean, we were talking...
Albuquerque.
Yes, Albuquerque. We were talking this morning on Facebook about the show and you know, things to do. And Ken sends you an email as if you're that little green guy from the Flintstones and you should go back to your home planet and tell them about this fabulous podcast that we do. And they would eat it up in droves.
Did you tell them?
You know what?
That's my takeaway.
I did send out a tweet, and I got a massive response.
There you go. That's terrific.
My computer crashed, actually. So,
all right. So, Johnny Hendricks, we talked, obviously, your new champion at welterweight, but he has an injured arm, fought with the injured arm, nearly dropped out, and now he's going to be out till the fall. And he has said, look, there's a lot of people claiming that they should have a shot at me. And I think what the UFC should do is make them all get really busy and narrow it down to one dude, because I'll fight whoever you want me to fight, but... prior to me winning the belt, there was really only one number one contender. And, oh, that was me. I was the number one contender because I was the one who, in some cases, people thought I beat GSP. I was the dude standing there. So I think we should have the same thing set up by the UFC. I want to see all of those guys doing stuff. Every one of them. Matt Brown, Robbie Lawler, Nick Diaz, Lombard.
I love this, by the way. I love the fact that he's like, look, make them all fight. I know the UFC probably wants to save a couple guys so they have a couple fights down the line. But I love the fact that he's essentially calling all these dudes out. Like, you want a shot? Fight for the shot. You don't just deserve it because you get on Twitter, which some of these guys are doing. And, hey, not that I don't love it, but
no, and then
he's 100% right here.
And the UFC has sort of complied. You've got Rory McDonald and Tyron Woodley at UFC 174. To your point in segment one, you talked about Robbie Lawler just gets up and fights. He's just going to get up and fight again. Tarek Saffiedine is hurt, so he's going to take Tarek's place.
Yeah, so that's why I don't understand what he's saying, Hendricks, and why you agree with him, because these guys are fighting. So what is he?
Well, but
really
I think he's specifically talking about like Matt Brown, and Matt Brown has been on Twitter.
Matt Brown's been killed. He's been slaying guys in the cage.
Yes, but he has been slaying guys in the cage, and I'm not
right?
here to debate whether or not Matt Brown should be part of the conversation because
like he took two fights that no one wanted to take at the time.
Does that give him a title shot though? And I think that's
both of you shut up for a second. Seriously, like you know when you've got guys online having these great conversations, I totally agree. Robbie Lawler and Matt Brown, I will give you $70 for that fight.
Oh, yeah.
$70 I will give you right now to see that fight. So does it mean he's in a title shot? Yes, he should certainly be in contention. But
that's a difference, though, and I think that's what Johnny Hendricks is saying here.
As you can see on my run sheet, there is nobody next to his name. He doesn't have a fight right now, and I think that's what Hendricks is saying. It's like, it's awesome that all of you think that you're the number one contender, but that's idiotic. One of you is the number one contender, not all of you. You can't all be number one contenders.
Well, I agree with that statement.
You're saying that you don't think that Matt Brown should even be in this conversation.
Not yet. No, let him
fight. How many other people at welterweight does he have to beat? Because he's beaten like 60% of them.
Well, what I'm saying is, realistically, and he's not one of those guys where he's by and far the number one contender. And what I'm saying is, I agree with the fact that Johnny Hendricks is saying, look, I'm going to be out. Sort this out. You all should not be just waiting, which I feel like a lot of these guys are doing when they send out tweets like, hey, I'll challenge you. They don't want another fight. Well, you know, a guy like Matt Brown could probably use another fight. Would I be mad if he were in there for a title shot? Wouldn't be mad. I would be more excited, though, if he beats one of those other guys on the run sheet.
Okay,
if you want to do that.
So I'm going to agree with you that Nick Diaz, obviously, is a guy who's going to talk enough trash till he gets to the title shot. He's not not good.
And he's a guy who's not even ranked, if you look at this ranking system.
I'm agreeing with you. And so when you talk about Matt Brown, I think, Ken, you are a guy who is what the mainstream thinks of Matt Brown. Sean and I are like, dude, he's been killing people at that weight class. Do whatever you want with him.
Hang on.
So to me, he knows that he has to make this noise on Twitter so people start paying attention to him and give him Hector Lombard. He blows through Hector Lombard, and then you're going to go, holy cow, give him a shot.
I get that. And that's what I think we're all sort of agreeing on different levels
here. It never happens.
What I'm agreeing with is the fact that if Johnny's out, there's nobody in that division that outranks anybody to the point that anybody should be sitting still. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Johnny's like, I'm out. I'm out for a little bit. I'm not going to be out for 3 years.
No.
But I'm going to be out for a little bit, long enough to where you guys need to be fighting.
Well, I mean, he said November-ish, and by November-ish, you should be able to, yeah, we should know who that guy is.
You can put Matt Brown in there with somebody. You don't even need a number one contender fight. You can have Matt Brown fight whoever you want. You can have the other guys fight whoever you want, and then look at the picture in 3 months, because you've got plenty of time still till November.
But don't you think you still need to get to that point where, like we were just talking about, Henderson in DC. You know, Dan beats Cormier, he's number one. Cormier beats Henderson, he's number one. We have a you know, as Dana likes to call them, the title eliminator. If you're going to do all this stuff, don't you think it should culminate in a title eliminator?
Oh, I don't know if this division's right there yet, because I don't think you have even two guys head and shoulders above. Like, would I mind if you put Tyrone Woodley and Matt Brown in a fight? I'm just picking names out of the division.
Sure.
And make that a title eliminator. Probably wouldn't be mad about it, but I think you make those guys fight, and then you make maybe Diaz fight somebody in that division. I don't care. Ellenberger, has he got anything going on?
He's fighting Robbie Lawler.
Okay, so you've got I like that. Let's see who wins there. Do they get the title shot necessarily? Maybe not. Does Diaz get it? And he certainly. As much as I like him, and he's got a bit of a pedigree, and he's been able to do some things before, guy's got to take at least a fight at this point.
See, that's what's going on right now. You've got Lawler's fine, Ellenberger. You've got Roy McDonald and Woodley. Then you've got Matt Brown's on the card for what, Cincinnati?
Yeah.
So these guys are fighting. It will get figured out, Johnny.
But it's going to get figured out. Do you think though? Because I kind of am leaning in like. The Woodley-McDonald fight seems to me to be the title eliminator.
That I could see how that's going in that direction.
You know,
most definitely.
Because prior to the Woodley-Shields fight, Shields said, I beat him, I get a shot.
Yeah.
And nobody said no to him.
So we don't have Matt Brown booked, though.
He's booked Cincinnati. I don't know who he's fighting.
I don't know if he's got an opponent set up yet. But here's my counterpoint to, hey, that's a title eliminator. I'd much rather have just the fight set for now, and we sit and look at it. Let's say you get Matt Brown and Diaz. Oh, well, let's see how that turns out.
Yes, maybe Diaz. Where do we sign up?
That's what I mean. Maybe Diaz tears through him and shows, he still is at the top of this division. Then do you want to be locked in to maybe a lackluster Tyrone Woodley performance being your title shot when you have a guy that could be either Matt Brown, maybe tearing through Diaz or vice versa?
Well, I like
the pieces moving around. I didn't read Johnny's statements as derogatory or maybe indictive of the system. I just sort of read them as, you know what? He's right. These guys, none of these guys are head and shoulders above anybody else in the division at this point. And if he's not going to be fighting until November, nobody should be sitting still thinking they get to wait for him.
To your point, Matt Brown is fighting Eric Silva, which I think is...
There you go. That's Eric Silva. I mean, he had a great fight down in Brazil. Bottom line, Johnny just needs to keep his mouth shut until November. Just stop talking.
Why? He's the champ. He gets to say whatever he wants. When do you get to talk? Johnny finally won the belt.
I can barely understand anything he says anyway. So.
Wow, that's
it's the beard.
It's English.
It's English.
Here we go.
I thought it was redneck, but I you know.
Yeah, here we go. That's why Ken likes him so much. Okay.
Stop it.
Since Captain America's opening this week, I figure
let's talk about something.
Let's move it along.
A little bit more uplifting.
So we will do this.
This week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Hey, I'm afraid of you, man. Are you crazy in your head, man?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
And this week in George St. Pierre, as I said, he is playing the Leaper in the Captain America movie, so you can see him in the fight scene in the beginning part of the movie, and as you and...
Spoiler!
What?
He could be there the whole movie.
Well, I know for a fact he's in... It's not a spoiler. He's in the first part of the movie. That's a fact, not a spoiler.
Maybe he's there the whole time and he wins.
And he certainly could
ruin it.
Yes, whatever. And as Sean and Joe, before we went on the air, were alluding to, not a lot of linear movement in the fight scene. So he might have had ACL problems when he was fighting Captain
Probably.
America.
Yeah, they use a lot of stunt doubles.
Are you guys seriously analyzing his knee from a movie? Dude, is that happening now?
Well, I mean,
this is why the guy retired.
GSP should not be using a stunt double.
I learned last week that if you want to get on every major news organization in the world, all you have to do is do a content analysis by watching video and make brash statements about how a sport is ruining a whole race of human beings with brain injury, and then you get everywhere. TMZ, NBC, CNN, AP will all report on it. So, yes, I'm saying that the linear movement in the Captain America movie indicates that George had a problem with his knee.
I'm more concerned about Chris Evans's hip flexor. I mean, it did not look good.
That didn't look
good. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that didn't look very good either.
Come on.
I think he needs to work with Freddie Roach a little bit on his timing.
Yeah, his timing was way off. Maybe it's the weight of the shield.
I believe you guys are really looking at his knee. Like, I don't know.
Well, listen, man, this is why
his only
qualifications was martial arts and speak French. You know, and he almost messed up the martial art part. I mean, come on, that's GSP.
It is.
And a
GSP.
Lot of people, when they watch this movie, like we were saying, they're not looking at the leaper. They're like, hey, GSP is fighting Captain America. Why does he look like crap? Why are they using a stunt double?
That if you're looking at it from that perspective, which is almost more ridiculous than trying to analyze his ACL in a movie, George St. Pierre is a human, and Captain America is a superhero. So that's why he looks like...
There's the spoiler alert right
That's
there,
why man. He looks like crap, because that if you're looking at it from that perspective, it would be like, well, how
he
come...
He just crushed a lot of little 8-year-old and 12-year-old kids' dreams.
How come
right
Fedor
now? You know
can't beat Wolverine? Well, that's because Wolverine's made of adamantium.
Well, Fedor's fat and retired.
And
now.
Fedor's fat and retired.
See, this brings up a good point. If you're going to beat Captain America, you're going to need Brock Lesnar.
Not even intended, but I don't disagree. the question from Facebook is, with GSP in Captain America 2 and Ronda Rousey in The Expendables 3 and Entourage, what UFC stars would you guys like to see in movies and doing what?
Brock, everything.
He's not a UFC. Oh, my God, dude. Just...
Wait, now, if he's not a UFC star, then why is
the question
a
current UFC star or just any UFC star?
If you look at Fight Pass, he looks like he's the most current star they have, because that's all they keep pushing out.
Okay, well, they're pushing that out to compete with WrestleMania, which is this weekend. That's why they're doing it. I don't care. The question was just UFC star, so you can define it however.
If he doesn't have a fight in, like, lined up anytime soon, I think Overeem would be a really cool character to see.
He'd be a cool bad guy.
Yeah, I think he'd be
in a Bond movie.
Yeah, he'd be awesome. You know,
I'll watch Chael in anything.
Let him take his vitamins. You know,
yep.
Well, Chael's in the movies, so that
right. But I mean, I would watch him in any. I don't care what.
Yeah,
he does,
I saw a grudge match actually with Stallone and Stallone.
He's in there,
I don't want to say anymore, but that was pretty cool.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, Chael's in it.
That's all. I won't say more about that. But it was
spoiler.
Cool. But, I would see Overeem. I think Overeem, you know, he's tall, he's big, and give him his vitamins, and I think he could fit any part as a bad villain.
Ken?
I think Brock would be interesting.
Dude.
No, I wouldn't. Let me finish.
Well, they might as well get Overeem and Brock to fight. Wait, they did that already.
Oh,
what happened?
Overeem cheated. If I remember correctly, Overeem cheated there.
You don't think Brock's ever cheated?
What's going on? Sure, he's hit people with chairs, but
this weekend on Fight Pass, you can enjoy the best of Brock Lesnar.
You can, though.
You can.
Let's look at Fight Pass here, by the way.
Can you answer the question?
As I bring up the screen.
He did.
I actually think it'd be interesting. Who's also featured this week on Fight Pass, along with The Rock, Jim Ross.
I'd like to see The Rock actually do an MMA movie. Let's switch it around a little bit. That'd be kind of cool.
He looks pretty awesome in the Conan movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, the dude's, you know, he's obviously a workout freak, so let's put him in an MMA movie, because these guys are doing MMA movies, you know, you don't even know who the main character are.
Sure, Kurt Angle was in The Warrior and all that.
Yeah. Put The Rock on, you'll have awesome
Who would I like to see in a movie, though?
Wait, let me guess. Brock Lesnar.
I think
tried that already.
Yeah.
Did he try that?
I think the Diaz brothers would be interesting.
The Diaz brothers,
I don't know what they do or if they'd even make it through the film shoot.
Like a cop drama.
But tell me,
did you
watch
guys
that.
See that one with Kung Lee when he did, was it Snake Eyes or Dragon Eyes or something like that? And then, Gil Melendez was, this gangster thug kid on the end, and they, jumped him at his car. Did you guys see this movie or no?
No.
No, wow.
No.
It's one of Kung Lee's, I think it came out in 2000.
His finest performances?
Nah, it's not. Dude, he didn't even speak throughout the whole movie, honestly.
So
Jean-Claude was in it, and he taught him how to fight in jail. That was kind
of
cool.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
So this was up for an Academy Award then.
Well,
right?
Dude, the best supporting actor was Gil Melendez because he did the hooded, you know, gangster kid.
The hooded gangster.
Yeah, he had this big blue bandana that covered, like, you know how cholos do that?
Yeah,
you know,
I kind of thought this would go.
See, I told you he was the racist.
I kind of thought this would go much
better. Hey, when you're not white, you can say certain things and you don't get labeled as a racist.
That's true, actually.
Actually,
no,
kind of.
Who said I was white? I don't see color.
Dude, wait, you see light gray, and dark gray, huh? Is that what you see?
You're the one that sees color.
Oh, boy. And on that note, I think I'm going to escape. And we will,
where are you going?
Anywhere but with you two guys.
You want to watch Brock Lesnar on Fight Pass?
I don't want to watch whatever you guys are doing.
Old clips of Jean-Claude?
Nope, none of that
stuff.
Come on, okay,
man.
When we get back, we'll break down the latest in the universe of news. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Desai from Triumph MMA, Ken Evans, and Joby Wan Kenobi covering everything in Twitter and Facebook at WOW Show. Some interesting things happening in the world of mixed martial arts. We had the study a couple weeks back talking about head trauma in MMA. And then this week, something very interesting happened in the World Series of Fighting. And joining us from one of our favorite news organizations in the world of MMA, Cage Potato, Matt Sicaro is here. Matt, how are you?
Good, Eric. How are you?
I am wonderful. So we watched the fight over the weekend, and you had some very interesting thoughts. Talk us through this Spartanian way of thinking that you wrote about on Cage Potato this week.
Okay, well, you know, every time there's a fight in MMA and a guy is getting beat up, people will always be quick to praise the guy who's getting beat up. They'll praise his heart. They'll be like, oh, man, he's got such heart. He's taking all this head trauma, and he keeps coming back for more. This is incredible. And the only thing incredible about it is the stupidity involved. When you look at something like that, like going to last weekend, World Series of Fighting, there was Josh Redinghouse versus Marlon Moraes, and Moraes was absolutely destroying Redinghouse. It wasn't even a close contest. I think one judge had it as like 50-44 ultimately. It was a one-sided beatdown that at no point in any of the 25 minutes was close to being a competitive match. And
even that might be an understatement, Matt, actually.
Yeah. It was really bad. And the referee didn't stop it. Redinghouse's corner didn't stop it. And nobody stopped it. And those institutions, those are there to protect the fighters from themselves, because the fighters are always going to say, oh, let me go out on my shield, bro. Let me go out on my shield. You know, I don't know if you remember the let me bang, bro thing from The Ultimate
right.
Fighter.
Yes, exactly, for sure.
They're always going to go, oh, let me bang, bro. And you'd expect them to, you know, because you don't get into that field unless you have that kind of attitude. But that's why the referees are there. That's why the corners are there. And that's why the judges are there. And if you're Josh Redinghouse's corner and you let him go out for, you know, the fourth round and the fifth round, and the fight's clearly over, he has no chance. He can barely walk. He's butt scooting like Nick Serra, and he can't do anything. Why even let it go on? People didn't, you know, when I wrote about that and I said basically exactly what I'm saying now, a lot of people were saying, oh, you're just a loser who, you know, who's never fought a day in his life. And it's like, well, why should that even matter? We shouldn't be praising guys for willing to take head trauma. We should be protecting those guys.
Well, and, you know, and one of the comments that I saw that I took a particular offense to, even though I'm not you, was somebody on there, or a couple of them, were saying that you weren't even a fan. And I think that's just ridiculous in nature, because what you were pointing out in the later paragraphs of this article, which we've posted on our Facebook page and everybody should read, is like, look, if Redinghouse wants to have a career in, let's say, I don't know, the UFC, why get annihilated right now and maybe not even get there because you take such damage either to your leg or to your head that you can't even make it there?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, too. I forget who tweeted it. I think it might have been Zane Simon from Bloody Elbow. He goes, oh, there's nothing like risking your entire career for a regional-level MMA title. And that's the most succinct way to put it in the words. There's no reason at that level to risk everything. But the problem is fans would shame him for doing that. Like, if he said on this corner, he said, all right, I'm done, everyone would be like, oh, this guy's a quitter, he's a coward, he's not a real fighter. They'd say horrible things, and that part of our culture needs to go away because somebody's seriously going to get hurt. There was an article on Deadspin about it saying, you know, that if MMA doesn't change, someone's going to die. And I wouldn't go that far and be that dramatic, but, You know, someone could get hurt who doesn't need to get hurt, and that's not why, hopefully, that's not why anyone else watches MMA, but that's not why I watch MMA.
Well, and if you look, one of the things you talked about is, like, when you get to the upper echelon, and you alluded to Josh Barnett saying, I'm willing to die as opposed to having a fight stopped early, and there is a fair amount of hyperbole, Josh being a very brilliant human being who I think says that stuff to get people riled, but you look at a guy like, I don't know, Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is a guy that somebody at some point should have stopped him and gone, do you want to enjoy the 40s, or would you enjoy, you know, spending the rest of your life in some sort of home where they need to take care of you? And I don't say that jokingly. I say that seriously. Yeah. That last fight with him was just scary.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, you know how the UFC has those, like, fighter summits where they, like, tell them not to make rape jokes on social media? They should really educate these guys about, like, brain trauma and all these other sort of like brain issues and chronic encephalopathy and things like that, because it's very important. And I almost think that some fighters don't necessarily understand the risks, that they like might not be able to remember their own name when they're 70, and that's scary and unfortunate. And I think the UFC could do a better job of making them aware of that.
And Matt, I won't keep you too much longer, but I was fascinated by this article, so I'm glad to have a chance to talk to you and would love to have you back at some point. But,
sure.
The big question for me is when I read this, I go, okay, you know, Redding House, maybe most people don't even know where to watch World Series of Fighting, and that's an interesting case study. But then you start talking about Diego Sanchez, and then you start talking about Chris Leben, and then more recently you talk about Dan Henderson. And after that fight with Shogun, the second one, where he won after he was on the wrong side of a pretty terrific beatdown. He didn't sound like a person who was putting all of the sentences together, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's
And so, not to cut you off, my question on a larger scale is, what hope is there to make that change when at the absolute upper echelon, in the absolute upper echelon organization, that sort of stuff is celebrated? He, you know, a miracle come from behind victory, and now he gets to fight for the, you know, shot to go against the title against Daniel Cormier. And I didn't see anything other than that punch that obviously ended Shogun's night that I went, you're a title contender.
Yeah, well, you know, if I knew the answer to that, I don't know. Maybe it'd be somewhere else in life. But, that's a tough one. I think part of it definitely comes from the fans, because maybe some fighters do realize that what they're doing to themselves, but they're too afraid that it's going to hurt their image if they just say, you know what, enough is enough. I don't want to do this to myself anymore. Fighters have done that in the past. I can't remember off the top of my head who is it now, but there are fighters who, the guy, I think it's John Cholish, who was, I think he was like a brain surgeon or something, or he's like a scientist or a biochemist, and he stopped fighting specifically because of head trauma. And, there are other fighters who have stepped down, and I don't see it ever going away, to be quite honest, because I think this is part of our culture. And if I ever do come up with a solution, I'll write a Cage for Tanner article about it, and you can have me on the show again.
I would love to, my friend. And you know, I honestly do hope it changes, because as this thing gets bigger and they put it on Fox more, unlike football, which can disguise a lot of the violence in the game itself, right? You know, most people don't really understand what's happening when two men run at each other. This one is pretty overt in what's happening in the cage, and what happened last Friday night is something that I really think people should take a look at and think about as this starts to go mainstream. And opposed to selling pay-per-views on giant names like Ronda Rousey and Jon Jones, the organization seems to be moving towards selling UFC. And if they're going to do that, this is something that I think somebody needs to start talking about at a different level than you and I.
Oh, definitely. And that's, look at what they did a few months ago when they got rid of the knockout of the night bonus. They're anticipating this. They're anticipating that this is going to be an issue.
Absolutely. All right, Matt, have a wonderful weekend. You can read the story on our Facebook page. And then, as always, follow along cagepotato.com or follow them on Twitter and Facebook. Wonderful stuff coming out of that organization. Have a brilliant weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. You too.
Take care. All right, and you can follow along everything that we do on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show, and we will be back next week to cover whatever else is going to happen this weekend. Go out, see Captain America. We'll talk to you next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.